Hello, welcome to Toonami Therapy. Today on May 25th of 2023, I am Michael.
I'm Tommy.
And we're here to talk about anime, some of which is on Toonami. We don't have too much to talk about beforehand, I think, other than, there's no Toonami this weekend. There's no new Toonami. They're just showing marathons of Robot Unicorn Attack. Unicorn Warriors Eternal. Dr. Stone, though, is coming back the week after. So we're going to, between now and then, watch the Dr. Stone special. If you listeners probably should also, because it does take place between the second and third seasons. It's called Dr. Stone Ryusui, and it's on Crunchyroll. If you want to watch it, it's dubbed and stuff. But one thing, for some reason, it is listed as being under season 7. So look for that. Yes, it takes place between seasons 2 and 3, and it's under and it's season 7. It's listed. Crunchyroll is weird the way they list those things. Maybe they should just I don't know. Is it possible to list as something as a half season? You could just do season 2.5, and that would fit it right in there. Oh well. Anyway, so that's the deal there. It's not like a long thing. It's not like, you know, Demon Slayer where you have a whole movie. Although Demon Slayer then just cut it up into episodes anyway. So it's not like Made in Abyss where it was a full movie, which they didn't cut up, and they did absolutely nothing at all to catch you up on what you missed in season 2. Although, yeah. I suppose plot-wise, there wasn't... I guess, as long as you understand the major beats, it's fine. But anyway, we should probably actually get into the discussion and save our random nonsense stuff for the end of the podcast so that we don't just make people think, when are they going to get to it?
Yeah.
All right, right. Let's begin. I guess this time I'll make a quick comment on Unicorn Warriors Eternal episode 4. I thought this was probably the most interesting episode so far, but because they had like pirates and, you know, zombies and things, or something like that. Yeah, so it was okay. Nothing else to really say too much about it. Other than the fact it did remind me of, there was this one Treasure Island cartoon I saw it because it was available on this thing called Lingo Pie. It was sort of like a video service. They had like some foreign things and you could watch them. It would like give you like the subtitles in that language or in English and stuff. Anyway, there's this really weird adaptation of Treasure Island, and it starts out kind of similar to Treasure Island. Like there's a few more mystical things. There's some new characters. And then like by episode 5, it's just gone in a completely different direction because it becomes about Jim Hawkins and Long John Silver trying to save the world from a zombie army. And I'm like, I don't think this happened in the book. Okay, anyway, moving on to anime stuff. So we have Food Wars episode 83. All right, so basically we get a bunch of, let's see. Right, okay, so basically we have some conversation stuff with Erina, then we basically fast forward through the rest of the tournament. Like, I don't think we even see exactly, I think I commented on this, do we even see who their opponents were?
No.
So then ultimately, Asahi and Soma end up going up against each other because, you know, of course it's, I can't remember. Is this officially the finals of the tournament or is this like just a case where, oh, it's not the finals, but whoever wins here will just beat whoever's left. I can't remember.
I don't know.
Okay. I think it's fine. I think it's, finals. It's, no, I'm looking at it. Sorry. It's semifinal match. It's Soma versus Asahi in the semifinal match. Yes. So there is one more after that. Anyway, so they go and then they have it, and then they basically, well, start their cooking stuff to go up against each other.
Yeah, so what you told me was that this season was probably the weakest season, and I can see why, because like we basically rehashed the whole Erna problems with parents type of thing, only now it's her mother instead of her father. So it feels like they just recycled the plot from season 3 and 4. And it's like, well, she has to have two parents, so why not make sure that the other one is just as bad? And now, obviously, we knew we were going to get to Soma versus the villain guy whose name I can't pronounce.
It's
what's his name?
I always I think it's Asahi. Isn't it Asahi Saiba, or maybe it's Saiba Asahi? I can't remember which order mm-hmm. they go in. Japanese names are weird because they have last name first, but then when they're dubbed like or translated into English, they'll reverse them into English order a bunch of times. So then you get all confused on which one is which. But it's one of his names is Asahi and the other is Saiba.
What's the name of her father?
Erina's father, wasn't it? Yeah. Azami.
What was that?
Azami.
Okay, so they kind of sound a little close to each other. That's why I was afraid of saying their names. Yeah, they just kind of like, okay, they won their battles, and now they get the fight because they figured no one wants to watch Soma win a bunch of battles. We know he's going to win anyway. So this is the big, big moment, and I have my hopes for what the final will be, but in the meantime, yeah, we have to have this. So, yeah, they really didn't do much cooking yet in this episode, did they?
No, not that I remember.
Yeah.
Well, when I say it's the worst season, or I never saw it. I just read the story in the manga and remember not being impressed with it. But I know that pretty much everyone thinks it's the weakest season. Right now, my biggest problem, well, you mentioned them kind of rehashing stuff for Erina. Just kind of, not only rehashing stuff, just rehashing stuff that we kind of thought she had moved past.
Yeah.
It would be like, what's an example? Well, I can't think of a good one off.
I got a good example. Okay. So it's like Picard finally saying that there are 4 lights instead of 5. And then he gets captured again. And this time there are 3 lights instead of 4. And they're trying to get him to say there's 3 lights. That's what it reminds me of.
Okay. Yeah, that basically it's like that. A character who had like a big arc about resolving some issue, and then we're just back to them dealing with it again. The other problem is that Asahi, I just do not find interesting as an antagonist.
I agree there. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's Food Wars. Then we got One Piece episode 617. We have even more running from poison gas. I can't remember. Did I mention how much there was last episode? Because I didn't say it that time, there's definitely a lot of running here. I'm mentioning it this time. There's been so much of this arc that has been running from poison gas or running from giant kids. Who want candy. This arc has had so much running around.
Yeah.
Okay. Anyway, basically, what happens in this episode then is Vergo is fighting Law and stuff, and there's a bunch of running. Caesar uses the gas to become a big monster guy, and weirdly, even though Luffy had to struggle a little to beat him before, here Luffy's just like, well, I beat you. At least he apparently beats him. I guess maybe he we'll see next episode if he did or not, but it is a little weird that Luffy beats him, is good against him, Caesar gets a power up, and then Luffy just beats him more easily. Well, I mean, I'm guessing he's defeated because the episode title was Caesar's Defeat the Powerful Grizzly Magnum. So that probably is the hum case.
And he gets defeated with about 5 seconds left in the episode, too.
He gets beaten pretty easily. That's One Piece. I guess Caesar's defeated, at least unless the episode title is lying to me. I don't know.
Maybe it is.
Maybe it is. How many more episodes do we have of this arc? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. It looks like we've got 8.
How would he be defeated and then have 8 episodes to go?
I don't know. I'm just looking at how they're organized here. This might be one of those things where the major conflict with Caesar is over, but then there's a bunch of stuff that sets up the next arc or something in it. We'll see, I guess. Not that much else to really say about One Piece, I guess.
Just One Piece, you know, it's just kind of there.
We didn't watch Naruto this time, so.
I checked out about 2 minutes into the episode. I'm like, yeah, this is boring. I'm not wasting my time.
I watched a little more of it, but I did stop midway through. Yeah, I kind of feel like the basic idea. Okay, jokes about how the whole thing, this whole story is a book that someone is reading in a dream aside, this actually does seem like a kind of possibly interesting alternate timeline story on how things might have been different. But big problem is that the series, I don't have the context for what's going on. So all I just know is that the characters are in different situations doing different things. All I really know is that Naruto's father is alive, and maybe that was the thing that set it up, but I don't know. It's weird. People complain about overly lengthy recaps, but I'm thinking, yeah, you know, for something like this, it might be nice if you just spent a minute explaining things, at least like the premise or something. I don't know. We didn't really watch the whole thing, so don't really have much to comment on it. Okay, then we move on to the non-Toonami stuff. We've got Birdie Wing and we've got some other shows, some of which we will probably be dropping after this. But first, Birdie Wing, episode 20. Let's see. So, Aoi, despite the fact that she was in the previous episode, what was it? Like, her opponent was... Her main opponent, I can't remember the numbers, but wasn't like Aoi like 8 above par and her opponent was like 7 below or something?
It was something ridiculous.
Yeah. And then over the course of several more days, she manages to catch up, sorry about that. I just got something on the phone. Let me just take care of this quick. Okay. Anyway, so where was I? So despite this major thing, Aoi closes the gap and it all, you know, comes down to like the last hole or, No, not the last hole, but it comes down to this important, this hole where she manages to catch up and stuff, and then it rains and she's able to use it and the opponent doesn't. There's a pun about how her assistant's name means rain in Japanese, which I can't remember if that was at how well that was explained in the subtitles, but there's that. So then she wins, and that makes her a pro golfer, something, and her assistant caddy wants to stick with her, so there's that.
It wasn't that it made her a pro golfer, it's that she decided to turn pro after the tournament.
I feel like they talked a bunch about how you to do this you had to become pro to, by winning this tournament or something like that. It was
obviously you have to prove that you're good enough to make it, but see, you don't become pro by, I guess you could say you could, but you wouldn't become pro from winning an open tournament, which is what this tournament was.
Okay.
It was Japan's Women's Open or something like that, but by the word open means it's open to amateurs as well as professionals. So that means that she could enter the tournament even though she was not professional, and as a result of winning, then she decided that she was going to go pro. So it's kind of like that, but not technically.
Okay. Then meanwhile, Eve's going to be going into a different tournament thing, and then finds out that her old teacher has a new student, and I guess she's going to go up against her. That's our episode.
Yeah. We watched this during primal time, right? And I don't know. I feel like it wasn't as good watching it whenever we got a time crunch. I think I like this so better watching it whenever.
I'm sorry. I just mentioned when we were watching during Prime. Yeah. Well,
your fault.
Okay. But we went through that. There were some things so here's a weird thing. So she made a comeback, and it's weird because her opponent is like thinking about like, well, you could be number one in any turn in another tournament, but not one that has me in it. I'm thinking she caught up to you after this giant gap. She's clearly way better, and it was just due to like problems on the first day that caused it. It reminds me of, oh man, way back in Yoamushi Paddle, where they were having, I don't know if you remember this, but to decide who was going to go in the big race, they were having like that, like sort of training thing where you had to do some number of laps, some big number of laps around this place over the course of several days. And the guys like do this thing to Onoda's bike without him knowing, that gives him like, it makes it harder for him, cause you know, to train him. And there's this big thing about, oh man, is Onoda going to beat this other guy and manage to qualify? And I'm thinking he's under a handicap. The other guy isn't. Even if he gets second, it would still indicate he was the better if he managed to do it with the handicap. And that's kind of like this. It's like, if you managed to catch up, then that just shows you're the way better person.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree.
One other thing, her caddy person, who we get the backstory about how she was kind of forced into this for, actually, I was confused about the reason, but then she's all like, no, I'm totally fine with it now. How much, because he mentioned that she wanted like 30% of the winnings. Now, I have no idea. Is that high or low for a caddy?
That's high. That's high.
Do they get like...
most caddies get 10%.
Okay. Yeah, that was my next question, whether caddies get like a percentage or a pay or how that works. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So, yeah, that was Birdie Wing. We've got... yeah, we're about halfway through the season now.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Then we've got the other four shows that we've been doing, in which we've just been watching some episodes, and then we'll drop some and continue on with some. And which ones will those be? I don't know. Ask my co-host. Who will tell us after we discuss them, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's just go through them. So we got Hell's Paradise episode. Let's see, 3. They make it to the they go to the island place. Sagiri is a weirdly stickler for the rules about how she insisted Gabimaru must have his hands tied, even though he points out this is kind of stupid and how no one else is like making the criminals do that. He ends up having to kill this other criminal guy who attacks him. So, well, I mean, if he can't beat Gabimaru, well, Gabimaru literally has his hands tied up, he probably wasn't going to get far in the island anyway. Then Gabimaru's decides I'm going to decides for some reason to attack Sagiri. I guess because he wanted to find the thing on Nerd, which is weird because his motivation was that he wants to get the elixir because then he can bring it back and then that will give him a pardon and he can be with his wife. But the requirement was that the person they're traveling with has to survive, and by killing Sagiri, that would completely undo that. So this does not seem consistent with his motivation.
Yeah.
Anyway, so he tries to do that. She kind of fights him off, but he's still stronger. Changes his mind, and I guess that thing makes her realize that he's actually not such a bad guy. I kind of thought all the backstory of his might have shown that, but what? Anyway, we get that. So I guess they're on better terms now. Then they get attacked by a bunch of monsters. Also, some other guys get attacked by monsters. Yeah. Episode 3.
Yeah, this is probably the best episode so far. I was really confused, like you said, about like why he was attacking her, because that just did not make any sense. I feel like I really want to see what this relationship between the two of them is going to turn out to be. I think that's the thing that's got me still watching, because it's like, okay, we have an obvious romantic type of thing set up here, but he has a wife already. So what does that mean? So that's that kind of that's kind of the reason why I'm like, maybe I might stick with this a little longer, because I want to see what's going to happen with that. Some of the things, though, like you said, didn't make much sense. But I still thought it was a pretty good episode.
Okay, yeah. There was one other... I feel like there was another comment I wanted to make. Yeah, it does just kind of feel, it also makes me think, well, it's a good thing for Sagiri that, you know, the person she got partnered with was, you know, like maybe one of the few criminals that was actually a decent enough guy. Because otherwise that might have turned out worse. But yeah, it like even the whole like we need to have them their hands tied, which is also kind of a dumb idea. I'll be fair, it did seem to clearly establish in the previous episode that this whole thing is a stupid idea. So
right.
It seems to be aware of that. Like, that's kind of dumb. Like, so you're taking them to go to find the elixir. How are they going to do that if their hands are tied? It's been established that that even strong warriors have gotten killed off by this place. There's that. If the goal is to try to, like, you know, make it so that they don't hurt the... they're like the executioner people, as they call them, that are guarding them. Well, they can just take those off because they're strong criminals. So that wouldn't, I don't know the whole, maybe I probably should not be critiquing something that once again, the series seems to admit is a stupid idea. I just wish I was a little annoyed that, it felt too much like they had to kind of force, you know, conflict between Sigiri and Gabimaru here, because their actions are kind of dumb. I guess the point was to try to make them at the end of it understand each other a little better, but it just kind of feels like, you know, this, what you did was good. You just did it in a kind of dumb way.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Anyway, after that, Konosuba, An Explosion on This Wonderful World, episode 3. Megumin ends up naming her cat Ink. So we have that. They end up, let's see, Megumin and Yunyun end up basically getting bribed into helping this that guy who fell into the pit last episode. He wanted to get his fortune told by this other member of the Crimson Demon. So there's this convoluted plan to try to make him look good in front of her, except everything ends up going awry and wacky misunderstandings happen. And eventually she just tells him, look, if you just asked, I could have told you your fortune.
Mm-hmm.
Which is basically, he wants to know what is his future girlfriend will be, and then doesn't get shown anything. There apparently isn't anything.
Mm-hmm.
So we get that, and that was the main. Oh, yeah, there's also some wacky stuff that happened in the library with, you know, Megumin trying to get rid of this like insect thing. That's basically our episode.
Yeah. So basically, what I've taken away from this episode is that, yes, it passes the 3-episode test. And yes, Megumin is able, after all, to carry a series as the main character. But she's still on trial. So, and in fact, it's kind of like how Q told Picard, the trial never ends. So she is always going to be on trial with me. But right now, she's just, for that brief moment, she was able to carry this series. So I guess she's all right for now, and we'll continue watching it.
All right. Then we got My Love Story of Yamada Kun, level 999. Basically, we find out that there's going to be some meetup thing. So several things. First off, Akane's, that's her? Yes, that's her name. Right. They said it so many times. I got mixed up briefly because I was thinking, wait, no, that's the name of a character in this other series I read called Akane Banachi. I'm like, oh, no, wait, it's just the same name. Okay. Mm-hmm. Anyway, right. So there's some stuff about her getting along with the Ruri person from her the guild in the game. She's like spending a bunch of time thinking about what Ruri is like in real life. Then there's some meetup for the game at some cafe. So she and some other guys go there. She runs a bunch of the episode is her thinking this one person is Ruri, but then it turns and she meets this guy on the way there and they talk a bunch. And yeah, what do you know? It turns out that the guy is actually her in the game. So I guess we have the whole, you know, oh, no, I play someone who's the opposite gender in the game.
Mm-hmm.
And we have, you know, some funny stuff with Yamada and other things. And that's basically our episode. This was kind of more, I guess, like focusing on some of the characters and much plot.
Yeah. Well, I gave this show 3 episodes, and I hate to do this, but I have to say that I don't think I want to continue on with this one. It's just, I honestly think a lot of the reason why I don't like it as much has to do with the fact that it doesn't have a dub, and it's just easier for me to pay attention to understand things if I'm hearing them rather than if I'm trying to read subtitles. But yeah, it just hasn't been funny enough for me to keep watching. And I don't think it's terrible. I just don't really enjoy it.
Okay. No. It's fine if you want to drop stuff. I was kind of expecting us to be doing it. That was part of the point of so many shows. I like this one still. I'm going to keep on with this show. Actually, it's not even necessarily a bad thing you want to drop it, because it means I can just catch up on all of it quickly. Yeah, there's that. I guess a few final comments I wanted to mention. Obviously, the comparison point of previous stuff we've watched is there's a thing of the, I can never remember its exact name. Like, is it true there is never a girl online or something like that? Or was it, and you thought there was never a girl online? It's, I don't know, one of the two. Although I will say this reminds me a lot, but I actually like this show more because, I don't know, I think I like the characters a little more. I do kind of, some people might not like this, but I actually like the fact that when we see them play the game, it's actually what it looks like in the game rather than it just being, as in that show, this sort of weird, like, this isn't what's actually happening in a game. It just is made look different for our enjoyment, I guess. So, yeah, I don't, since we're not keeping up with that, I probably don't have too much, nothing too much else to say, but yeah, I thought it was, pretty, fun. I do kind of wish there was a dub for it, but I guess Crunchyroll just has to, you know, just guess at what, stuff will be popular. which is, yeah, looking at the popular anime, it's, how the heck did I Got a Cheat Skill in Another World and Became Unrivaled in the Real World 2 get to number 2? It was always kind of high because isekai harem series are popular. People watch them. But it was just a little weird to see it, because normally it was like, you know, maybe in the top 6 or whatever. So yeah, we got that. Oh yeah, Demon Slayer is number 1, in case you were wondering, because I mean, it's always going to be number 1.
Yeah, while just it's airing. As an aside here, have you heard of this series called Reborn as a Vending Machine? I Now Wander the Dungeon.
Yeah, I've heard of it.
Yeah, like I was like, that is like really weird. Although, from what I read, it's like supposed to be a parody of isekai and not like supposed to be taken seriously. But I can tell you that from being in Japan, it is crazy how many vending machines they have. I mean, they are everywhere. And, I just thought it was pretty interesting because it was like, wow, I remember seeing these everywhere and now they're making a show based around one. So, yeah.
Yeah, it's the interesting thing about that show, which is actually premiering in about a month and a half for the summer season. So if we plan to do this again, you know, check out some of the more promising stuff in the season and pick a few of them to keep up. I'll check that out. I don't know if it'll be good or not, but we'll see. What was it? I have heard about it. It's a weird thing from my understanding is that apparently, you know, there was it got the light novel, and apparently the light novel wasn't particularly... Now, this is what I've heard. I don't know enough Japanese to verify this, but supposedly there were like 3 volumes and it wasn't very popular, so it stopped. And then, like, 4 years later, for some reason, it got a manga adaptation, and apparently that got popular, so now they're making it into an anime, this series that apparently got... it wasn't popular and got canceled. So I don't know if more light novels will come or what, but yeah, it apparently is supposed to be sort of a comedy or parody. I mean, the plot is that a person dies from a person who's obsessed about vending machines dies from getting crushed by a vending machine and then gets reincarnated as a vending machine.
And like the only things he can say are like, or like stuff that a vending machine would say. like thank you and stuff like that. So, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that might be one we'll check out. but
as long as it's not taking itself too seriously, like if that show takes itself seriously, it's like, okay, yeah, no, we're not buying it.
I am kind of surprised at how few isekai parodies there seem to be. Now, there are isekai comedies, but in terms of, but I'm talking more about stuff that's actually like more of a parody of it.
Like Konosuba, yeah, you mean?
Yeah, like Konosuba. You got Konosuba, right. And I don't know what else would be exactly a parody. Like I said, there's stuff that's comedies or tries to be comedies, but usually it's just like a regular isekai series that just has jokes and wacky stuff in it. I'm talking more like something that just spoofs the ideas like Konosuba did. It's so weird. Konosuba came out like 7 years ago and it made fun of stuff that wasn't actually that popular in anime yet.
Mm-hmm.
I like remember, maybe I mentioned this before, but in this review I saw of it early on, it was someone was like saying, well, this is another series that has alternate world where there's video game rules to it. And I'm just like, oh, you had no idea how popular this thing was going to be. But it's like, oh, it's just kind of almost quaint to look back at things like that. But yeah, I just don't know of ones that are like just straight up parodies that I can think of. Almost, I would almost say it's not really a comedy, but I kind of almost feel the closest thing to a parody besides Konosuba is ReZero, just because it makes such a point that Subaru, like, he doesn't get the crazy power up stuff. He's just a weak. I mean, in a way, the power up he has of rewinding time when he died is like, in a way, one of the most powerful abilities. Like when you get down to it, most people would like not survive the stuff he's gone through, even some of the stronger characters, but still, even there, it's a matter of, okay, I've got the he's still like physically weak. He has to actually, you know, use his brain and stronger allies to get through stuff. And I'm like, other than Konosuba and ReZero, I'm sure there are things. There's probably something I saw that I forget, but it just is weird that this just feels like something that would be so ripe for parody and not really seeing that much of them. Maybe this will be the parody. Maybe this will be it.
Maybe.
I guess maybe if you want stretch things, I guess Campfire Cooking in Another World with My Absurd Skill kind of was, in which basically the main character's special skill is that he's able to order stuff from Japan, so he's able to make really tasty food that makes people like him, and ends up getting him this really powerful monster ally because the monster just wants to like eat tasty food. Anyway, moving back on from that, we've got Why Raeliana Ended Up at the Duke's Mansion, episode 3.
Which is also an isekai.
Yeah, also an isekai. More of, I guess, a straight one, a regular one, though. So far, we haven't had the main character be super overpowered and get a harem yet. a reverse harem, because, as they call it. So basically, in this episode, she's, because now that she's living at the Duke's Mansion, you know, as the title says, she ends up having to study a bunch of stuff about things, which is actually fine for her, because she already knew all this, a lot of this stuff from our world. Has to try to, and you know, Noah's like, you know, trying to get her, hey, you need to call me, you know, Noah in front of other people instead of, what did she call him? Was it like Your Grace?
Your Grace. That's what they called. Called him in the dub. Mm-hmm. I don't know what she called him in the and the Japanese, though.
Okay. It might... Actually, I'm suddenly kind of curious about that, but maybe it was just his name with Sama attached to it, you know, the super formal one, or maybe there is something. Dang, now I suddenly want to check it out. Well, actually, I'll go to it. I'll hear the Japanese, and I'll be. I have no idea what they just said. Maybe I could try to like look up like how it was translated in some other languages, and compare those. Anyway, so yeah, we got that. He then wants her to, you know, go to a ball thing to make the announcement or something about their engagement. Although the engagement is supposed to get called off in like 5 months anyway, or. I'm not sure exactly how they plan to do that, because that was a deal. He just had to pretend this for 6 months or whatever. I'm thinking, okay, so what's the plan on when you say, nope, we're not actually going to be engaged anymore. Like, it's weird they haven't discussed that, I think. Anyway, she gets all like prettied up with makeup and stuff by this guy, and then they're going to go to the ball place thing or whatever it was. I think it was a ball.
My favorite part of this episode was when the guy who was helping her dress up, and he was like, there's like two smiles you need to master for this, and like one of them was like one that only the Duke guy could pull off. What's the name of the Duke guy again?
Noah,
that's right. I should know that. It was like one that he pulls off perfectly and like no one else can. So I thought that was pretty funny. Overall, I thought this was another good episode. I'm a little confused as to like what this whole agreement is. She's pretending that she's engaged to him so she can avoid getting engaged to that other guy, right?
Yes.
Okay, but like what you said, what happens after, like is she gonna have to go through with this though, you know?
Well, so here's, it hasn't, I'm still confused about what their plan is on what to do at the end of that. Now, but the idea why she wants it to last this long, it hasn't said it, but my guess is this. So what kicked all this off is that this whole world is just like this book she read, and her character dies, and that sets off the whole plot. So she doesn't want to die because she was poisoned by her fiance. That's why she wants to call that off and, you know, have this other thing. My guess is that the 6 months is because something happens in the book in 6 months that would, like, ensure that if she's still alive, she wouldn't be poisoned anymore. So that's why I expect she chose that date. I kind of wish it had maybe specified that, especially because the show has so much stuff of her talking to, monologuing to herself in her mind. An explanation for that would have been appreciated. But we'll probably get an explanation on that soon. But yeah, that's why they're doing that. I just don't know what the two of them plan to do at the end of it, when they just say, okay, we'll stop pretending. Are they just going to say, are they just going to say, oh, well, I guess it wasn't meant to be, we have to break up. Is that the plan? It's kind of funny because an issue I've had is that I feel she kind of monologues to herself a little too much. But at the same time, I'm thinking, I could use some answers to these things. If you're going to spend all this time monologuing, explain these things I want to know.
Can you guess which character that I like a lot is voiced by the same voice actress?
The same person as Raeliana.
Yeah.
I don't know what else she's done. Let me check quickly.
You have to name the character, not the actress.
I know. I'm trying to look at her list of things. It's dang, I'm seeing some things, but I'm trying. I'm seeing some series I know you liked, but I can't remember the character's name, so I can't. So I see this name and I'm like, okay, who is that from that series again?
Mm-hmm.
Let me just
You'll know it when you see it.
Okay. It clearly was Pochita from Chainsaw Man, right? Okay. More seriously, is it Fiona from Spy Family?
No.
Okay. I can't remember who this character was. Who is Hazuki Shimada from Bakken Test? Was that it?
No, that wasn't her either.
Okay. See, here's the thing.
I have to go with an obscure series.
Oh, okay. Obscure. Let me look. I'm just trying to look at the. I was just guessing because I'm like, who is Hazuki? I can't remember, but she was someone from there. Obscure. Is it? Hang on. Is this a show that I've seen?
Yes.
Okay. It's a show I've seen. Let me. Dang, I'm looking at this thing and you're going to say it really, and then I'll feel really stupid. And it's obscure show. Okay, I mean, I could guess, but I am, I'm going to feel really stupid when you tell me. Let me just take one more quick glance through this obscure series. I'm not seeing any.
You looking on Wikipedia?
Yeah, I'm looking on Wikipedia.
I think it's not on there. Actually.
Okay.
Yeah. She voiced Kuniko from Shangri-La.
Shangri-La is there. Somehow I didn't see it. How many times did I scroll past it? I never noticed Shangri-La was right there. I don't know why. I just looked. My mind just went past it multiple times. If I had seen that show, I would have known it. Somehow, I don't know. I just feel stupid because I'm like, what? It was there and I didn't see it. Okay, that's super obvious, and if I had actually seen the show's name, I would have realized it, but I'm really, I apologize.
Now you can hear it. You can hear it.
Okay, so now I got the series there. Super obvious that I didn't notice because I didn't look at, I don't know, I was just looking through this stuff, and I was thinking, okay, well, it's not Nagisa from Assassination Classroom, then. It's, because that's like, well, known. And, yeah. Okay.
All right. Sorry about that.
No, that's fine. I should have just given up earlier because now because I took so long, everyone's probably just looking and wondering, oh, wait, what is it? And, I should have actually maybe told them to just look it up themselves to guess, but
okay. It's okay.
All right. Now that I have wasted people's time with my inability to guess things because I can't read apparently. Any other comments about Raeliana?
Not really.
Okay, so we've watched three episodes of these four shows. You said that you were going to drop Yamada-kun. What about the others? Are you planning to keep all three of them, or do you want to possibly drop one to make room for other shows we might want to watch?
At the moment, I want to keep all the shows. Raeliana is the one I'm most interested in, and Konosuba has potential. Hell's Paradise is the one I'm really debating on. I feel like I need to give it at least one more episode before I make a decision on it. So
okay,
those three. Yeah.
Sure, we can watch another episode and then make a final decision.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's all of those shows, and oh boy, we talked quite a bit. So, all right, that's all those things, I guess, top three time stuff. I don't know why I said it like that. It's just top three time. It's not top three time stuff. It's just regular. There's no. Why did I say that? Help! Something's wrong with my brain. It's what's caused me to somehow miss Shangri-La despite looking at that thing like five times.
So third place this week is the big surprise. That's Hell's Paradise. It finally gets on the list. And in fact, the list is all shows that we added. So Konosuba is in second place. And back at the top is Ray Liotta again. So, Food Wars wasn't too good this week. So this is the first episode of Food Wars since probably it came back that has not made it on to the top three.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So for me, I would put Konosuba in third place, Birdie Wing in second, because I don't know, it might be ridiculous that someone can recover like that, but I mean, once again, underground transforming golf course used by mafia to settle disputes. What more can you say? My favorite was actually Yamada-kun.
Oh, really? Wow.
Yeah, I really liked this one. That's why I said, I mean, if you wanted to keep going, great, we can enjoy it. If you don't want to, well, I can just go and watch the rest of the series myself instead of waiting on a weekly basis. Of course, knowing, maybe I'll just watch the next episode and I'll be like, wait, this episode is terrible. This show is not going where I wanted it to. So, I don't know. I guess we'll find out. Those are my series there. Once again, for next week, we'll watch one more episode of each of those shows, and then you can maybe make a final decision on, Hell's Paradise. We don't have Toonami, so we'll be watching the, Dr. Stone, film. Well, not really a film, it's just a 1-hour special. That's what we'll have for next week. And then the week after, Dr. Stone is back.
And, yeah.
Nothing else to really say. Is there anything we're forgetting? We're not forgetting about some other thing we watched that we totally forgot about at the end of last episode.
Yeah. I did watch another episode of Tomo-chan is a Girl, which I'm now through four episodes, so it's a little different from the other shows, but I liked it, although I feel like the show is best whenever it's making Tomo out to be a tomboy and not focusing on the other characters. It's kind of like Kaguya. In fact, this show reminds me of Kaguya Sama so much. And in some ways, it's a little better. But it's like, whenever it's about Kaguya, it's really good. But whenever it's about, like, these supporting characters, then I kind of lose interest. And so that's kind of what was going on for this episode, part of it. So In fact, it's the same thing as Kaguya, where there's not just one episode. There's three different parts to the episode with their own titles. So I don't pretend to know if there's any connection between the two shows, but they're definitely very similar.
Let's see. Did they curious? I don't think there's one. They were even in different magazines. I mean, I guess they're both seinen series, if that matters. But dang it, there's something. What you mentioned about the characters, it reminds me. Actually, this one manga. Actually, it got an anime that premiered this. This season, and I wasn't going to count it. It wasn't really in consideration for like the series that we were going to watch. I'm talking about Mashle, for the record. That someone might think that was kind of a notable omission from the things that I suggested we checked out. Well, that's because Crunchyroll didn't list it as getting a dub, and it was licensed by Aniplex, who I thought, okay, they'll give it a dub later on. It might just take a while, so we'll just set it to the side in case it does. And then it did, and then they suddenly announced it's a dub, and now they got it out. So maybe that's something I checked out. Although I only saw the first episode. I've heard that the series, the anime, has an issue because it's a comedic series in the manga that they kind of played stuff more seriously where there was.
What's it called again?
Mashle.
Mashle?
Mashle. Well, one of the other reasons I didn't suggest we watch it was because I was thinking, well, Crunchyroll doesn't have it. Maybe this will be on Toonami one day. Anyway.
Magic and Muscle?
Yes. Basically, it's a series. Mashle is a really funny character, and when it's focusing on him, it's usually really funny. Whenever he's not on screen, it's usually a lot less enjoyable because the other characters just aren't up to the task for the most part. It's one of those series where I've seen other people say it also. They say, oh, I love Mash, the main character, but like the other characters I don't really care too much about.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. So anyway, if anyone was wondering, that's one of the reasons why I didn't select it for this, because I was thinking, oh well, you know, it might be a while until we get a dub. Plus, it might end up on Toonami, and it still might. So who knows? But there's that. Other than that, I don't have anything else to say. Did you?
No, I think I covered everything.
All right, that. And with that, we are finished with this. We'll have, well, I already said all the stuff we'll be checking out for next week, so I won't repeat it. We've taken up enough of your time, so we'll end it here, and we'll try to do better next time.
Bye.